Hello, 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 everyone, and welcome to the One Board Podcast. I am Rick White, one of your hosts, and with me, as always, is a man that owns 63 left shoes and 37 right shoes, Ryan Gutowski. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. My left shoes stay fresh. That's my motto, keeping them left shoes my fresh.
That's on the business card, Ryan Gutowski. My left shoes stay fresh.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Right under my PhD.
Oh, yes.
I don't know where I got it from. Sir? Good. I am. I don't have the energy you have because I'm sipping some loose leaf lime, key lime tea. It's really delicious. I'm really enjoying it. So.
Yeah, I did not know that limes were made of leaves, but you know.
Hey, it's a different world. It's 2019. What you gonna do?
You know what? I ain't no botanist. All right. So Ryan, you guys, how are you? Like, what you been up to? How's life?
It's going good, man. It's been fun playing some games. I've gotten to try out some really good Kickstarter projects, which I'm very happy about. I think sometimes it's a crapshoot as to whether or not you get a game that is going to be fun to play or not. But I have been very happy with some of the Kickstarters that we've been previewing and some of the games that we've been playing just day to day. It's been really good. I think it's good times. It's not depressing because sometimes...
I'm not depressed.
Sometimes you pull out a game, you're like, I do not want to play this because it's bad, or it's not.
Yeah.
I know I would rather be playing something else. So, so it's been really good.
Awesome, Ryan. So tell us about one of those games, if you do not mind, sir.
Yeah, so Kingswood, if you are anywhere on Facebook, you have probably seen some promotions or some images for Kingswood. It is a game that is coming from 25th Century Games. It's going to launch they're launching their Kickstarter at the end of April. It's one game that you definitely want to check out. Henry Audubon, who is the designer behind the Parks game from Keymaster that was on Kickstarter just a little while ago, and the designer of Space Park, which is one of our favorite games, he's at it again, and he made a very cool game. I really enjoyed it. The premise is you're a guild, you're out there trying to defeat the bad guys and do the king's will, and you've got these little adventurer meeples that you move from building to building within the town to get perks. So you might go to one location and you'll get, you go to the market and you get 3 coins. So those coins are going to help you buy things like, level up your hearts or get a new heart, for your character, or get a sword, which will help you fight more bad guys in the forest. There's a lot of cool decisions that you have to make, and it's fun because we played it at 2 players, 3 players, and 5 players. Mm-hmm. And I've liked it I wasn't a fan of it at 2 players. Not to say it's bad. It's just it was predictable.
Uh-huh.
But 3 and 5, I really enjoyed it. I liked it a lot. And so Kingswood is definitely one that you want to check out when it hits Kickstarter at the end of April. We'll have a full preview of the game. So I don't want to say too much because there's going to be a lot written in that preview when it goes up on oneboardfamily.com.
Right. And, so. You know, I talked a little bit about it when I actually got to meet with Chad Elkins of 25th Century Games.
Yep.
Who's putting it out. When he did Space Explorers, I got to play that and Kingswood. And I like Kingswood a lot. To me, it's better than Space Park. I don't think everybody feels the same way, but... I like the idea of having, it felt like it was Space Park with more to do. Like I wasn't just moving around the map. I had more objectives and things that I needed to work more on an individual basis than Space Park provided. So I'm looking forward to that one and can't wait to, I'll probably back that one on Kickstarter as well.
Yes. So what have you been playing, Rick?
Well, sir, I have been playing Smugglers. So Smugglers is a game that was really cheap on Amazon a little while back, so I picked up a copy because it also is a game that I think works well for the group that we have that comes over for our church nights on Wednesdays. They have some little kids that always want to play games, and Smugglers involves Play-Doh, so that's always a good one.
There we go.
So Smugglers is a game about trying to sneak items into a town or out of a town. I don't really know. And so what that entails is each player has three different little cube things. They're similar to the gems that you'll find in like Eakin Gold or Quartz. And you also have your own thing of Play-Doh, or it's more like Silly Putty, honestly. But what you'll do is somebody rolls a die, and you move a little token across this big plastic plastic tray that has like runners in it, to where you kind of put it in the it's kind of also sloped, so you put it in the top and you push it, and
it
rolls.
Like a Plinko machine or something?
I mean, it's more just like a bunch of tracks. Like there's eight different little tracks, and so at the bottom of those tracks though is a fence that's a cardboard piece that you put in, and those fences are different sizes. And so what you have to do is you on your turn, or everybody kind of goes at the same time, but wherever that token lands, that tells you how big of a ball you can make. So you take your Play-Doh, you hide one of your gems in it, and you ball it up, and then you each take turns trying to sneak your ball through the fence. And so everybody that makes it through goes to the bar, goes to this area of the bar. Those that don't go to the cellar. And then, though, only two players can win, quote-unquote, for each round in the three-player game that we played. I think there might be more at higher player counts, but I can't remember exactly. And the way that you win is whoever has the biggest ball. So if you have multiple people, like if everybody makes it through because they have these pea-sized little, you know, creations that they've made, whoever's weighs the most, and it comes with this cool little, like, just a cardboard piece on a plastic you know, lever or balance. And so you put both balls on either end, and whichever one's the heaviest is the one that makes it on. Nice. So the people that were the heaviest, they get to guess what was the other person trying to smuggle. And if they guess correctly, they get one of those items. And if they guess incorrectly, that person still gets the item that they tried to sneak in. So they're red and yellow, supposed to be like sour and sweet candy. It's not super thematic, but really all the fun is like trying to sneak the ball in. You kind of have to eyeball it. You can't like put it up next to the fence or anything. You just kind of have to really try to guess and try to roll the ball just the right way. And then like figuring out who's, you know, who's weighs more than the other towards the end, if you need to. The guessing is also cool because there's like a smoke bomb component. So that if somebody was hiding a smoke bomb and you guessed incorrectly, they get to steal one of your items, and just little things like that. It's not the deepest game. I think you could play it once, and we honestly started to get a little bit tired of it after a few rounds. But I mean, for the money that we spent, it was pretty fun.
That's really cool. Yeah. Sounds like you have a lot going on there, and it's something that definitely would keep a kid's attention. That's
yeah, cool. I mean, they get to play with Play-Doh and hide little things inside of it, so they were always enjoying that. And the whole, like, guessing part, whenever they got it right, you know, they were like, yay! You know, and if they, you know, somebody got a smoke bomb, there was tons of laughter and stuff. So I think for little kids, I think this would be a good one.
Well, our topic of the show this week is pretty interesting, so why don't you sit tight after this break? We'll be right back.
Right, we're back. Hello, Ryan. Well, this week, you know, YouTube, sometimes I fall into it for a while. And a little
fall
video
down that,
that
YouTube hole.
Yeah. A little video that got recommended to me this week was 3 Minute Board Games. That is the name of a YouTube channel, and they had a list that they called the top 10 games that you need to start your board game collection. Okay. And I've seen lists like this before, but this one kind of caught my eye because I was like, I don't know that I really agree with many of these. So, yeah. Ryan, I wanted to run some of these past you and see what you thought. And then I think we should give it a crack creating our own list, maybe taking okay. some from this list and adding to it games that we think maybe work better in your, you know, starting out gamer board game shelf.
Yeah, yeah.
How's that sound? You think you up to the challenge, sir?
Yeah, I am. I think as you go through these, let's give a let's give an up or down vote for the for them as you read them. How about
yeah,
that?
Yeah, and I think we can talk a little bit about what do we think about them and why. So, Ryan, the first one they threw out, and they went from 10 to 1, but their number 10 was Between Two Cities. And their argument for that was that it's like a cooperative competitive game where you're working with other people and always trying to do your best.
I think it's a good hybrid, not having played Between Two Cities, but having we own Between Two Castles of Mad King Ludwig and has similar feel. I think that's a good one. I think it's good.
Yeah, I don't. There's part of me that thinks that it's good, but I don't know if it's top 10. Like if you threw top 20 at me, maybe it makes it.
That makes sense.
But it's such a unique mechanism. Like it's not one that you grow. I don't know if besides Two Castles, Between Two Castles, I don't know that it like grows into any other mechanics. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and that's true. It's very particular in its play. There's not many games that would be like it. That's
right.
True.
All right, so thumbs up or thumbs down from you?
I'm going to go thumbs up.
All right, I might go thumbs down on that one.
Okay.
So. All right, Modern Art, Ryan.
Modern Art. I have not played Modern Art. I like the art. I would go kind of thumb in the middle, but Modern Art is a classic.
Yeah, I think Modern Art's one of those that does what it does really well.
Yeah.
Like, you are able to learn it. Their argument was that in auction games, like, everybody knows what an auction is. And so, and it kind of has some special rules that kind of you can grow from. I think I'm kind of in the middle as well. I might just go ahead and give it a thumbs up. I also haven't played it, though I've owned it for a year.
Oh, really?
But it's one that I think the other thing is that it's a Reiner Knizia game, and I think it like gives your collection some clout, maybe. And that sounds really snobby of me, but I think that's what I'm going to say.
If there's anything we know, you're a snob, Rick.
We know that.
That's what everybody says.
They all say it. I think I feel a little more positive on this next one, though, is Forbidden Island.
Yes. Cooperative. It's a basic cooperative game. It teaches you to work together. I have suggested people who are trying to get their teenagers into gaming and want something where they're working together and building the relationship with their teen, Forbidden Island has been on the top of that list for me. So I would definitely go thumbs up.
All right. Yeah. And I think, you know, you and I would say probably that you could go island or sky.
Yeah.
It really doesn't matter either way.
Desert.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Sky is the newer one that I'm not as familiar with. And I think is a little more complex, but I think the other thing is it's cheap, and for me, I think that finances have to be considered whenever you're making a list like this.
That's
like,
right. Yeah.
To me, there's no reason to go out and buy like, you know, Gloomhaven as your first game because it's just way too expensive. I mean, it's also complicated, but you know, I think there's no reason to go out and spend a ton of money. And Forbidden Island, shoot, I bought my copy at like CVS or something back when they sold board games
for
a hot second.
You can get it for 12, 15 bucks. Yeah.
Right. So I think we can both give a thumbs up on that one. Ryan, next one, a classic is Dominion.
Yeah. So the reason why I would say yes is because it is the deck builder of deck builders. It brought this mechanic into a board game vernacular. I mean, it created this style of board game, but I think that other games do it better.
Yeah.
So it's hard. Like, I feel like for classic reasons, you own Dominion. Like, I own Dominion. I have not played Dominion in years.
Right.
Because there's so many other games that I'd rather play. But I own a copy of Dominion. So I feel like I'm going to go no.
Oh, so. Snap. The vote has changed.
Yeah,
I think I'm also going to have to go no. And I think it's because, again, like you said, Dominion's like the granddaddy of them all. But there are so many other games that have, I think, tweaked that formula and made it better. I think Dominion, for me, one thing I don't like as much about Dominion, and maybe it happens with other ones, but, like, it really, really caters to people that have played it a lot. Like,
yes, it does.
My friends, Clay and Jennifer, played it, like, they'll play two-player Dominion back and forth, and they love it. But if they were to ever play one of us, they would destroy us. Because they know, when do you start going for the victory points? You know, when do you start trashing other cards? How do you play the different cards that come out? So it's not a bad addition, but, like, I think there are better.
I intentionally don't teach games that I'm really, really good at. Like, I wouldn't bust out a game that I win all the time and say, hey, let's try this out. You new people new to the hobby. There's no way I would do that.
Yeah, so. I try not to do that, but gosh, I love Century Spice Road, and I'm pretty good at it. So sometimes I have to break, I try to break my own rules. The Resistance, sir, what do you think?
Excellent social deduction game. I feel like it's small enough, it's cheap enough, and it's well known enough to be in the list, even though I would prefer to play Hail Hydra, personally. Yeah. But the Resistance, it's great for a first-time collection.
Yeah, I think, you know, deduction has become a thing that there's a lot of different versions of it, and you can find something that maybe is a flavor that works better for you. But I think I would put it on the list as well. I own a copy. You know, that being said, we haven't played it in years. So I don't know. But, Ryan, you know what? I'm doing another mulligan. I'm changing it to no. I think it's...
Oh, okay.
I think it's... To me, it's more of a... And again, we're going to look into some of the other games, but I think something like Werewolf or One Night Ultimate Werewolf, I think works better for somebody.
Okay.
But that's just me. Seven Wonders, Ryan.
I like Seven Wonders. I have played it a handful of times. I enjoyed it each time I played it. But I like Seven Wonders Duel better. I think it takes that experience and knocks it down to a two-player level, and it's more enjoyable to me. I'm going to say no for Seven Wonders.
Okay, yeah, I think I'll also say no. And part of that's because, like, I think Seven Wonders for starters is too complex. Like, I think there are other card drafting games that you would enjoy more.
Including one that I'll name in a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. I think the next one you and I are going to be pretty high on, and that is Azul.
Azul, I taught my mother-in-law how to play. I taught my mom how to play. I taught some ladies that Aaron works with how to play. They all own a copy of Azul. In fact, my mom thought about picking up a copy of Azul. She doesn't own it, but she thought about picking up a copy of Azul when she saw it on sale the other day. Yep. So that's how classic this game is.
Yeah, and so quickly. Like, I think, and again, yes, I will say definitely yes. I think it's because one thing about this game is that it is a very good-looking game. It has great table presence that a lot of these other games don't have. Like, a lot of these other games, like even Seven Wonders, like, it's a bunch of cards. There's a bunch of stuff out on the table. It can get a little messy, a little bit disorganized. Like, when you put Azul out on the table, it looks like you're decorating almost. Like, it's a good-looking game. It's not that hard to learn, but it's fun, and it has some options for you to kind of learn different things.
That's right.
Next one, Ryan, Raiders of the North Sea.
Have not played it. Mm-hmm. I feel like the lineage of this series, of the Raider series, I don't know. I'm going to go in the middle again because I haven't played it. I couldn't say that it's the best option.
Right.
But I would, I think it's a good option. I just don't know that I would suggest that for a first time board game buy.
Yeah, to me, it's a little too niche to recommend. Yeah. I mean, it's older than I thought, I guess. But, like, you know, it's older than Azul. But I haven't played it either. It just seems too kind of in the corner of the market, like, where, I don't know. I would say no, simply because it doesn't feel like that's what you start with. I have that feeling for our next game, which is Memoir 44.
That's another one I haven't played, but I'm going to go with no, because I don't see your average person playing this. I see a history buff, a person who enjoys war games, a person who likes strategy games. I see that person. I don't see a person who might be buying games for their family game shelf.
Right. Yeah, war games are really a niche market. And that's what Memoir 44 is, like, the most approachable war game there is. But yes. I owned a copy of that game for a little while and ended up having to trade it because I was like, I will never be able to bring this to the table. Like, there are some really cool things that if I had somehow been able to find the right people where you can, like, set up three boards all at once connected and, like, play a three versus three match and all kinds of stuff like that, that sounded really cool. But, like, I don't know anyone, maybe you and Bob and, you know, we could grab one other person and or three other people, but I don't know that many people that will want to play that. And to me, the thing that for a starting off your board game collection, it has to be something that's more approachable. And I don't think this is. And our last one, Ryan, I think you and I are going to have our most opposing opinions on, and that is Small World.
I love Small World. Small World plays good at two, and it plays good at five. I mean, they did a great job of making sure that the board supported the number of players. So you've got two different boards inside the package. You have so many options, and no two games are exactly the same. And it's a great step in the right direction for anybody who has ever played Risk and wants something that's a little less intimidating and a little more fun.
Yeah.
Small World is a yes for me.
Yeah, I've played Small World a couple of times, and I don't know what it is. I really don't like that game. I don't like the idea of, you know, you have your characters and then they're gone, like, so quickly, and all that, like, you know, putting one into hibernation or whatever you call it and then bringing up another one. I just don't like that mechanic. But I know a ton of people that do, and I feel like I'm in the minority here. So I'm going to say no to that. So in looking at our totals, Ryan, I said yes to only three of these games.
Really?
You said yes to five and maybe to two. So I think you're in a little bit more agreement, but we'll say that you're running with your five that you're definite about and that you'll have some that you really push here as we move into the next segment where we are going to recommend what would we add to our list of top 10 board game starting points.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah, that was too much.
All right, Rick, we are back, and what we're going to do is we're going to amend this list and add some things that we would suggest people start off their first board game collection with. So, Rick, I have a list of five, and so do you want to just go, and you actually have a list of seven, because you said no to seven of the games from the previous list.
And I think two of mine are going to copy yours, so I'll end up being able to share five as well, so we'll be able to match up pretty nicely.
Okay, cool. Let's do it. So I'll start with, I liked Forbidden Island. Forbidden Desert, I think, is a little more difficult, adds a little more interactivity with the board and a little more complexity, but it's still a great cooperative game. So I'm going to replace Forbidden Island and put Forbidden Desert in there as a co-op experience that I think a lot of people would really enjoy. So Forbidden Desert goes on the list.
Awesome. One of mine is Werewords. So I'm taking out, like, the Resistance, because I think Werewords is the kind of deduction game. For me, what I like One Night Ultimate Werewolf because it's so quick and the app kind of runs everything. And so you get that deduction element that you're looking for in the Resistance, but in a faster way. With Werewords, one thing that it adds is this, one person picks a word and everybody else is trying to guess it. And so that part of deduction that can be kind of tricky is where people just sit out and let other people argue for them. And Werewords, I think, minimizes that.
That's true.
I think they've done a really good job with that. It's now surpassed Escape as my most played game. So it is a game that our family has really enjoyed and that, you know, we play all the time. Every time we've got a bigger group together, that's the one that makes it to the table. I mean, 58 plays on Werewords, and then I got Werewords Deluxe, wow. and we played 8 games of that last time we hung out. So Werewords or Werewords Deluxe is one I would totally recommend.
Excellent. I am going to do a change-up. I originally had one game, and I'm going to change it, actually. I think Downforce is a game that is very accessible. You can slightly modify the rules for younger players. In fact, the rulebook has some instructions for people, for younger players, to modify, you know, the bidding aspect of things and how the game starts so that it gets off the ground a little smoother. I'm going to put Downforce as one of my favorite games to recommend for a new game collection.
That is a great recommendation. And I think, you know, I could very easily be convinced to add that to my list because I think it's one that I really like it. And we had friends that came over, we played it, and they borrowed it. They were about to have a baby and they had family come into town. And so they borrowed that to play with their family and played it a bunch. It is a solid, solid game that I think...
And it plays 6 players, which is great.
Yeah, I would call that game underrated, honestly. I think does not get nearly enough, you know, discussion that it should. Like, I feel it is better than, like, a Camel Up. Camel Up, I feel like, got way more press than Downforce did, so...
Oh, definitely.
That is a good call on that one. Because I am, you know, the king of two-player games, one thing I've thrown in here is Lost Cities. Yes. I think Lost Cities is the ultimate in simple two-player card games where you and your significant other or just a random person that you find on the street, you know, however you play your board games, sit and...
Don't judge.
Yeah, no judgment. Play cards from your hand. You're really trying to balance the risk-reward of, you know, keeping a card in your hand versus putting it in the discard pile. It has a lot of tension there and plays really well. Plays really quick, doesn't take up a whole lot of room. I think Lost Cities is a really solid game that, you know, I think you should have one or two games that you can play two-player in that starting box because I think most gamers have that scenario. If you don't, maybe you can ignore that suggestion, but I think Lost Cities is one that you add to your list.
I'm going to go with an engine builder who has made its way into my heart. Kind of like a heartworm of some sort.
Yes, Gizmos, a board gaming heartworm.
Gizmos from CMON is a fantastic engine building game, and it's great. It's got great table presence. It's easy to teach, and people, I think every time you finish a game of Gizmos, you say, I know I can do better next time. Let's go again. So Gizmos would be a game, and it's fun to play with kids too. So, probably older kids, 8+, 9+, definitely Gizmos is a great option.
One thing I didn't mention about that video was that they had said at the beginning that they weren't going to put Catan, Carcassonne, or Ticket to Ride, you know, very popular games on their list. I think, you know, those could be things you add. I think Ticket to Ride would be my highest recommended one out of that. I bring that up because Ticket to Ride, a solid, well-made game. And the one that I'm going to recommend now is Quadropolis, which is another Days of Wonder game. And that is a very solid game. And it's a game that has you building little cities. And so... It's kind of interactive, but you're also kind of each playing your own solo game. You're taking tiles from a central board and building up a town on your individual player board that has to meet certain conditions, and the way in which you arrange your city scores you points. So the way that you get into people's way is, like, the most aggravating thing is you take somebody's tile or something like that. But it's a really fun game. I really enjoy it. I think it's a game that's really accessible to people that are kind of learning the hobby. And so that would be why it would be one I would recommend people pick up.
We're going to share this one. One of my favorite deck builders, Eldorado. Eldorado plays fantastic at two players because of the way that it modifies the number of people, the number of explorers that you control, and it also plays great at 3 and 4. It's a racing game. I think Eldorado does so many things well, and it's one of the most perfect family weight games, in my opinion. It's a game that you can explain to newer people, younger people, and it makes sense, and it's also a great way to introduce that hand management and
deck building
all together in one.
Yeah, I think Eldorado is definitely it's one of my top three games. It's possibly, you know, they change in my mind from time to time, but it's competing for my favorite game. It is wonderful. You know, you introduced it to me, and I can't, you know, get over. I need to play it more is what needs to happen. And I need to get the expansion. And, yeah, I'm really excited about that game. It makes me very happy.
Yep. That's right.
Another one I've got is Wits and Wagers Party Edition. And I've got that on there because I think we all need a trivia game in our collection. You know, Trivial Pursuit has been that for a lot of people. Most people have that blue box that's got questions from the 80s that are old and, you know, outdated. Wits and Wagers is the trivia game for people that don't like trivia games because it asks you questions about that you shouldn't know the answer to, like how tall is the Empire State Building and, you know, how many tater tots did America eat last year, stuff like that. But you write down your best guess and then people can put wagers down on people's guesses, including other people, not just their own. So as long as you're like good at, you know, following people that you think if you can read the room and see who knows their stuff, or, you know, if you're a decent guesser, you can be successful in that game. You don't have to have all the trivia know-how. And it has some wagering in it, which I think is fun. And so that's one I think you should have on your shelf to kind of scratch that trivia itch.
It's a fantastic party game.
Yeah, it's really good.
So I've got one more on my list that shared with you. You have two more. So why don't you give us that last one?
Well, we share that last one. So Sushi Go Party is one that both of us have.
Yes. Sushi Go Party, it is a great set collection game. It's not going to get old like some of the other games that you may find on your shelf, because Sushi Go Party has this modular setup. You're going to be able to swap out these different menu items and change the face of the game every time you play. Do you want it a little more difficult? Or do you want it a little more competitive? Do you want it a little easier for your audience? There's a lot of ways to run Sushi Go Party, and it supports up to 8 players, which is rare. And so that's the reason why this goes on the list.
It's so much more approachable to me than Seven Wonders. And it's the artwork, starting with the artwork and going with the scoring system. Like, Seven Wonders can get really complex. It took us half an hour to explain it the first time I learned it. Sushi Go, I feel like you can explain. Like, the most difficult thing to explain is pudding, you know? So I think Sushi Go Party is a much better. The only thing that I don't like about Sushi Go Party is it has the worst box that's ever been invented in the history of life. Because every time it gets nudged, every card ends up all over the place. But that's okay. And then the last one I've got on my list is King Domino. It's not even like my favorite game. It might not even crack my top 30, but I think it's a solid game to add to start off because it's approachable for 2 to 4 players. It has nice components. It has nice artwork. The rules are simple to learn, but it's something that even a new player can compete with an experienced player. So I think it's one that makes a great addition, and it's affordable. Again, a big part for me for these games is being affordable, and most everything I have on here, like Eldorado's like $30, Quadropolis might be $40-$50. Everything else is like $20-$25. And to me, King Domino, affordable, a good game. I think something that you can quickly add to your shelf.
Yeah, it is. It's a great, that's a great family game. It's definitely one that is an easy one to suggest. I mean, every once in a while we'll have somebody say, hey, what was that domino type of game that you lay down these tiles and they're really colorful, King Domino? And they're like, yeah, that one. And so it's just really accessible and it's a lot of fun. I don't play it as much as I used to. I think I burned out on it, but it's a great, great game for families.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if we're talking about things that, you know, besides affordability, you and I talked about the scalability to multiple players is important because you want to be able to satisfy any kind of gaming group that comes over to your house. You want it to have approachability. You don't want it like Memoir 44, it's an army game. That's a hard game to approach.
Yeah.
Sushi Go Party is adorable. That's an easy one to approach. And you want it to be fun. You don't want any kind of game where there's so much take that people walk away ticked off about the game. And I don't think you're seeing that on any of our lists. These are games that you'll have a good time with and that you'll enjoy. So, yeah, yep. You know, those are games that, and of course, people can agree or disagree with us. There are plenty of games out there that you can add, but, you know, let us know in the comments of our post, what do you think are great games to start off a board gaming collection? What are some things, and maybe what did you start off your board gaming collection with? Ryan, can you think of, like, your first five games?
Yeah, so Ticket to Ride, modern board games. I would say Ticket to Ride was on there. Let's see. Oh, man.
I know Love Letter was one of my first games that I picked up.
Yeah. Yeah, Ticket to Ride, I got it so long ago, and then I got Aaron Catan years and years ago. I mean, we played those for a while. We've had a lot of different types of games. I don't think hobby gaming as we know it now, I think Ticket to Ride would have been, I mean, it's been 12 years, I think, something like that. Yeah. And we had it probably about 10 years ago. So, yeah, but I can't even remember. I'll have to look back and see what we started with.
Look back in the old photo album.
I think actually this may be a post that you see show up on One Board Family, kind of a start here for your board game collection. We might actually make this a post and get contributions from Aaron and Bob and get a good list of 10 so that you guys can share this with friends who want to start their gaming collection. So anyway, so Rick, even though this post doesn't exist yet, where can they find stuff like this that we're talking about?
Right. Well, you always can start at oneboardfamily.com. There's so much stuff there, guys. Like, seriously, like 3 or 4 or sometimes even 5 posts a week. So you're never going to be bored.
Which is insane.
You know, you just check it out each day, see what crazy nonsense the folks have made up over there. And then we've got our social media platforms, Facebook, we've got Twitter, we've got Instagram, we've got a YouTube channel where, you know, we try to post tri-monthly videos at this point.
Yeah, really.
It's getting a little bit ridiculous. But you can find us there. Hey, and you know what's really cool is if you support us on Patreon, we have a Slack channel.
Yep.
And if you don't know what Slack is, join the club. I didn't know what it was until Ryan signed us up for it. And it has been really fun. It's just like a fun chat room with the other people that love One Board Family, and we post stuff on there like every now and then, like if there's a good board game deal, if there's stuff that we've been playing that we're excited about, you'll hear about it there first, and you'll kind of know what games are coming up that we're going to review and things like that.
That's right.
And so, Ryan, I hope you have a wonderful week, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And until next time, Rick, we'll see you at the table.
Media,
where we all
bring something
to the table.
Pull up a chair
at punchboardmedia.com.